Does Black America not understand that all of the Confederate statues they're tearing down were Democrats? Southern Democrats led the charge to secede from the Union, and they formed the Confederate States of America. It was a Republican president, Abraham Lincoln, and a Republican Congress who passed the 13th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, ending slavery forever. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 only passed because of the Republicans. Democrats fought it tooth and nail. So we can see why these modern book burners on the left are so desperate to tear down statues of their Democrat ancestors across the country in an effort to rewrite the hate and racist history of the Democrat Party over the past 240 years. I credit Claston Bernard of New Right Network, Biz Pack Review, and Ed Brodow of Clash Daily for their research and contributions to my commentary today. Every day brings new charges of racism and demands that all white Americans confess their sins. As long as those demands continue, I will speak out about the injustice of those demands. If any of you listening today are guilty of oppressing, demeaning, or assaulting a black American, I urge you to confess that sin. But you don't confess it to Black Lives Matter. You confess it to God. If not, I urge you to stand up and resist the attacks on all white people as racists. Let me be clear. I will stand beside any person of color when they are discriminated against. I treat all people as I want to be treated, and that includes people whose skin is a different color from mine, but I bow to God only, not to any man. I was taught from an early age that you can never run backwards as fast as those running towards you. Don't even try. We are relearning that lesson today in the face of the demands from Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and a horde of leftists who will never be satisfied until America is only a faint shell of its former self. The more liberal anarchists are allowed to destroy, the more they seek to destroy. Weak-minded leftist mayors and governors don't seem to understand that when laws are broken, decisive action must be taken, or the lawbreakers will become emboldened and push forward. Seattle is a prime example of failed liberal leadership, as is Portland today. The mayor of Seattle allowed anarchists to take over a six-block area of downtown and proclaim it as their own. The shops and stores were boarded up and merchants lost their business. Predictably, the anarchists began shooting one another. They refused to allow the police into the area to treat the wounded. Did you hear me say that? The anarchists would not allow the police into the public property. How insane is that? The correct move would have been to immediately call in the National Guard to drive these maniacs out of the area. Put them in jail. Jail is there for those who break the law. They should have sealed off the area, cut off power and water, kept anyone from entering or leaving, and let those parasites wither and die. The demands were getting louder and broader, political correctness running amok. There were calls for doing away with the national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner. Our flag is being desecrated at will. The leader of Black Lives Matter declares that if they are not given all they want, they will destroy society. That's a violent threat, and one to be dealt with. The leader of Antifa said they would destroy the Hell's Angels motorcycle gang. I have no love for gangs of any kind, but it would be interesting to see these Antifa panty waists confront the Hell's Angels. That should be a pay-per-view event. There would be hair, teeth, and eyes all over the concrete and no smudges on the Hell's Angels jackets when the dust cleared. Demands are being made that all white people accept guilt and bow down to black people. I ask you, what do you personally have to feel guilty about? What have you done to any black American that deserves your apology? Ask me if I regret that slavery is part of the American history, and I'll agree with you. But I have no personal guilt about something that happened 150 years ago between people I never knew, blacks or whites. Applying standards of more than 100 years ago to today is a fool's mission. Ask me to respect you as you respect me, and I'll gladly comply. Demand that I kneel and kiss your boots, and there will be hell to play. Sadly, that demand is being made across the country, and weak-minded, liberal white people are genuflecting. Hundreds of white people, convulsing with white guilt, gathered in front of the Connie Morella Library in Bethesda, Maryland, and there they dutifully recited a Pledge of Allegiance to black people by mindlessly chanting the words fed to them by their black masters. This spectacle is the latest in a string of bizarre incidents where self-flagellating white people, infected with white guilt, grovel and kneel before black people they don't even know, due to injustices stemming from slavery, an institution that more than 600,000 white men died fighting to end 155 years ago. Each of these white people who are suffering from white guilt should be asked what they specifically have done to deserve that guilt. Slavery is some 7,000 years old. The United States, just 254 years old. Slavery began in Africa, not America, and it still exists in parts of Africa today. No outrage from the left or from Black Lives Matter for those who are still trapped there in bondage. Keep in mind that the white Americans alive today do not own slaves, and most of their ancestors didn't own slaves either. So why are we all apologizing for slavery? During the slavery era, only a tiny percentage of whites actually owned slaves. Why? Because only the wealthy in the South could afford slaves, and while there was a slavery campaign in the North too, most Northerners did not own slaves either. The black Americans alive today were not slaves, and neither were their parents. So why demand today's whites apologize for an institution that white Republicans ended in 1865? Civil rights activist Bob Woodson slammed the Black Lives Matter movement and the race-baiting left for promoting the false narrative that systematic racism is oppressing black people. He said, "When Eric Holder was a U.S. attorney in Washington, a lot of young people were shot by the police, but they were black police shooting black kids." Woodson recalled it and said not only were they not prosecuted, but Holder turned a blind eye. He continued, "There was no public outcry because as long as illegality wears a black face, then it escapes detection." And that's what's wrong with looking at life through the prism of race. The tragic irony is that black Democrats like Maxine Waters, Al Sharpton, Eric Holder, and Barack Hussein Obama are race-hustling grifters who are shamelessly peddling the false narrative of systemic racism to cover their own failure to help blacks when they were in positions of power. Why didn't black people demand slavery reparations when a black president was in office for 8 years? Race is being used to deflect attention away from the failures of the people running those institutions. Why are black kids failing in school systems run by their own people? In the past 50 years, $22 trillion have been spent on poverty programs to help blacks. 70% goes not to the poor, but those who claim to serve poor people. Bob Woodson went on to say that So many of these people in office use this federal taxpayer money to create a class of people who are running the inner cities. Race is being used as a ruse, as a means of deflecting attention away from critical questions such as, why are poor blacks failing in systems run totally by their own people? New York Times editorial board member Sarah Jiang tweeted, cancel white people. White men are BS, and other despicable words. It came as no surprise to anyone who's been watching current social trends. Can you imagine the uproar if a white person tweeted that all black men are BS? What kind of mentality does it take to be so obviously ignorant? Caucasians are being demonized and marginalized by the left and its media enablers. Black Lives Matter activists allege all white people are racists and must apologize for their skin color. Racist has become the most often used word in the English language thanks to its overuse. The accusation of racist has become an example of crying wolf too often. Calling someone a racist without any proof is now part of the liberal playbook. Welcome to the left's new rule for establishing culpability. A mere allegation of wrongdoing is sufficient to convict you. Say goodbye to the bulwark of our legal system. If you are white, you are guilty of racism until proven innocent. Individual instances of racism are occurring and always will occur against both blacks and whites. But to suggest that white racism is institutionalized is to deny the colossal changes that have occurred since the civil rights movement that took place more than 50 years ago. Thanks to those changes, put in place by blacks and whites working together, blacks now have the same opportunities as whites. Not equality of outcome, but equality of opportunity. That's all we deserve, whites or blacks. White America has bent over backwards to ensure that blacks can realize that opportunity. Blaming the problems of the black community on white racism is patently false. As respected black American author Shelby Steele has pointed out, he said, the oppression of black Americans is over with. America is not a racist country, agreed black political activist Candace Owens. Anyone claiming otherwise has a vested interest in keeping us divided. The easiest way to maintain power over any group is to keep those within it at war with one another. Black Talk host Larry Elder is passionate about this. He said, the goal of identity politics is to tell black people that they are victims. He said, that discrimination and racism remain major problems in America when in fact they don't. Black American economist Thomas Sowell said, racism is not dead, but it's on life support. Kept alive by politicians, race hustlers, and people who get a sense of superiority by denouncing others as racist. Consider Al Sharpton. How on earth could this little man ever support himself without race hustling? It's been his ticket to ride since he brought out a poor black girl named Tawana Brawley to lie about having been abused by white men. Sharpton kept up that sad lie even after it had been proven that she lied. It never happened. From that sordid beginning, Sharpton has been a greater threat to racial harmony than anybody else alive. A racial inquisition aimed at white people is underway. The New York Post reports that schools across the country are teaching white students as young as 6 that they're born racist and should feel guilty about benefiting from white privilege. 8th graders are given a privilege test that identifies them for being white or rich or having an intact family. Racist indoctrination training for white students only is pervasive at colleges and universities. The idea that white people are inherently flawed is absurd on its face. The objective is to foment racial discord. Minority special interest groups are using the banners of equality, diversity, and social justice as a power grab. Supporters of the social justice movement are not seeking justice, they're seeking control. Black Lives Matter is based on the false narrative that cops are killing blacks, while far more whites are being killed by cops than black people. Heather McDonald, author of The War on Cops, observed that violent crime has recently increased in many American cities due to the fact that the false narrative of police brutality, spread by groups like BLM and Antifa, has forced officers to decrease the use of proactive policing. The crime victories of the last two decades and the moral support on which law and order depends are now in jeopardy, thanks to the falsehoods of the Black Lives Matter movement. Police operating in inner city neighborhoods now find themselves routinely surrounded by cursing, jeering crowds when they make a pedestrian stop or try to arrest a suspect. There are incidents of police brutality, and the great majority of Americans, white and black, demand reform. But the only thing between society and chaos is the police. Author David Horowitz is appalled by blatant anti-white racism. He says, quote, "The fact that white people are better off is not a privilege. It's earned. Yet white America has been mostly passive about the blitz of anti-white rhetoric, perhaps because of white guilt, perhaps because of fear of violent reprisals, or perhaps because so many people are uninformed. People are losing their jobs simply for speaking the truth about Black Lives Matter." A TV newscaster in California was fired for exercising his right of free speech by saying all lives matter. The BLM demands that Caucasians must apologize for their skin color is racist and abhorrent. It is time to declare that white people are now the objects of racism. Someone needs to explain to people of color that white is a color too. The race-hustling business that is supposed to address racial grievances is over a $1 trillion industry. So why is there still so much poverty in black America? And who's benefiting from all the money being spent? Liberals, lefties, and Democrat politicians continue to run on platforms promoting racial justice. They continue blaming lack of funding for more government programs as the failure of black American families. And it's time to repudiate such lies and deceptive arguments. They are designed to keep black people ignorant and angry with hands outstretched, seeking more redress in the form of reparations. It is sought from white liberals, puffed up in their own pride and lust for power, running around to the Jacksons and Sharptons seeking absolution. One trend most liberals and race hustlers will never allude to is that the rise of the civil rights movement coincided with the decline in racial prejudice, which threatened the Southern Democrats' grip on Jim Crow. That's not to trivialize the civil rights movement or the sacrifices many made in their unrelenting pursuit for equality under the law and the end of racial quotas favoring whites in this torrid period. As economist Thomas Sowell brilliantly put it, most private bus owners did not share the same sentiments towards segregation as the Southern Democrat lawmakers. Profit-making is what drives private investments, which means it's not in the interest of private business to discriminate. No one denies that America, and indeed the entire world, has a sordid history when it comes to slavery. But at some point, the sins of the past need to be forgiven. Forgiven, not forgotten, if we are to move forward as a united people. Unfortunately, there are forces on the fringe of society that will never allow us to heal the wounds of the past. And that does not bode well for our children and grandchildren. My experiences, my personal experiences with black Americans, have been pleasant, perhaps because I treat them as I want to be treated. Some of the kindest people I have ever met have had black skins. To be sure, I have encountered a few black people who have a chip on their shoulder, but that's not the norm. And I have encountered white people who, as Grandma used to say, are not worth the powder it takes to blow them to hell. Grandma was feisty. This current surge in violence isn't about justice. Most of the looters were black, but most of the protesters tearing down statues and demanding name changes are young, white, college-educated kids who have no concept of reality. They have been diapered, burped, cared for, and allowed to run loose all their lives. Without Mom and Dad, these misfits would be on the street sucking their thumbs. They have no idea how to care for themselves, but have all of the answers to society's ills. Anyone who follows these people are as dumb as they are. I end today with this. I am not a racist, and I will not apologize for the color of my skin any more than people with skin color different from mine should apologize to me. I will not bow before anyone except God Almighty. I will treat all people with respect until they show me they do not deserve it, and I will ask only the same from those I meet. We must come together, or we're going to lose our country. Even more importantly, we will lose our souls. I thank you for listening to this bonus commentary today. It's a shame that we have to keep talking about race, but as my mentor Paul Harvey used to say, we need to hear the rest of the story. I'll be back again next week, God willing, same time, same station, and God bless America.